down to brass tacks. You on the air?
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good afternoon.
Oh, blessed be my brother. Always a delight to engage you. My contribution today may have bothered to some people on the simple or the petty and the mundane. But, Mr. Ellis, there are certain things that I admit I am very picky about. Let me cite an example, as is the want of the Combomerian. I have noticed that we first, let me preface what I'm going to say by saying that I think that we in the Parish Gap area have one of the best sanitation service authority crews when it comes to the pickup and cleaning. We may not have the frequency that we would like, but they do as good a job as they can. This is what troubles me. I remember when I was younger, and we're talking considerable years ago, an epoch ago, that they used to have, the people that would do the cleaning would have a broom and a shovel. And I have noticed now that oftentimes when they empty the receptacles and what have you, that you get a lot of leachate coming from the truck and leaving the road in a state. And sometimes I wonder if the spot is not, if it don't look better than before they come than after they leave. So I want to find out if there's a policy at the SSA that means that the workers can no longer have a shovel and a broom. If I know that, then I know the reason why they left the road that way, because they don't have the tools to do it. But I don't understand why they wouldn't have them. So I spoke to a person, I don't know how reliable his information is, but he said to me that the SSA used to issue the shovel and the broom, and they would do like the money that came in for the sugar industry this year, it would disappear. So I wanted to know from you if they get them or if they don't get them.
But secondly, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know anything at all about it. As a matter of fact, the SSA is one of those special places where all you ever hear is, oh, they lack trucks, or they got trucks to repair. But when it comes to accounting to the people of this country for how the taxpayers' money has been spent in that agency, you don't have any information, really. That's one of the things that they get and hide and cover up as best as they can. As far as I can see, as far as I can recall, one or two debates, but you know, that's one of those things that, like, the same estimates debate that we recently had, from which they're drawing the money right now, that when that debate took place, they spent a whole set of time, it's about two and a half days or something like that, in the general reading of what was going on, so that we could never get down to the nitty-gritty of such things as the SSA and how it's been operating. So I wouldn't know.
You make it sound like it's deliberate obfuscation.
It looks that way to me.
But
it is not peculiar. That's one of the weaknesses of the system, that we've seen this happen time and time again over the years. And that is what frustrates that 20% of the people inside there who say, but why are we going through this? Why we have a system that is failing us in this way? And yet people coming to us trying to project themselves, you know, as our saviors.
You saw that you were about to see her project themselves as saying we are ready to serve. However, don't ask that, don't go there. But there's a situation now, like, in Westbury Road. They're repairing a road right now, but I don't know if repairing is the right word to use. They're scraping the surface with a view to grading the surface and putting on another coat of Barber Green, because we know why. Now, I was trying for so long to get that road fixed, Mr. Ellis, and I was hearing one monotonous response all the time, and it was that the government does not have any money. But the government got the money now because there's soon elections. Now, next to that is a spot that the members of the community have cleaned, and it has on about three or four derelict cars that have been deliberately dumped on the site. And I have spoken to the PR man at the SSA. I've spoken to Miss Denise George at the Rock Party Clinic, and I can't get them moved because nobody wants to take responsibility for moving the derelict cars. Everybody says they have no money. Everybody says they have no equipment. You know, Mr. Ellis, like I told you last time, more and more I am compelled to end my conversations when I contribute to the call-in program by saying, cry, my beloved country.
All
Thank
right,
you so much, Mr. Ellis. There must be others waiting to get on.
Thank you very much. It's 5 minutes after 1 o'clock. Hello. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Ellis?
Yes, sir.
How are you, sir?
I'm well, and you?
Not too bad. The last caller said Ukraine, my beloved country. I am proud of my beloved country, that even although it might be in rags and tatters, it's still my beloved country. You don't give up on people just because they're flying high, you know, and when things tough, you pass them by on the other side. I love my country, but it's doing well, or it's not doing that well. But the other side, I want to talk on two issues that I heard you.
I just want to let you know, that you're not the only person who loves Barbados, irrespective of. There are people across the political divide who have the same views, the same feeling, and attachment to this country. So that is not a preserve of people who support the Democratic Labour Party alone.
No, sir, it has nothing to do with supporting Democrats. Therefore, I'm a Barbadian. I support Barbados.
Well,
don't
pick at it. I just say it is not just the preserve of people who support the DLP.
I was never a member of any political party. You have all kinds of...
I didn't say that you're a member either. I just support...
Well, don't break. I support Barbados. If the DLP doesn't...
Listen, come on. Listen, we understand. We listen to you often enough. Let us make that judgment call ourselves. Proceed. Proceed. All right. I'm all ears.
I heard a early caller again. You said the economy contracted on the DLP. And you agree with him. Remember did the contract on the DLP?
But that is so unfair. When the man said that, what did they ask the man to do? Produce the evidence?
Exactly.
Wait. So on what basis did you say that I agreed with the man?
Well, let me withdraw that. That might not be exactly fair. You didn't tell him that
you
were wrong.
You're always unfair, man.
No, you didn't tell him that he was wrong. Because you know he was wrong.
But I asked him to produce the evidence. And I had a long conversation here with him about the need to effect some balance and to produce the evidence whenever you make a charge.
You did, Mr. Ellis. You did.
So the economy didn't contract, in your judgment?
Not on the DLP. No. Let me get the evidence.
Good grief. Let me listen to you.
No, let me get evidence now, man. When the DLP took over in 94, we had a bank with 11 branches. We had an insurance company. We had a mortgage company. When the DLP took over in 2008, the bank was gone. The insurance company was gone. The Barbados mortgage company was gone. In addition to that, when the took over the government in 94, we had something called BS&T, owned lock, stock, and barrel, and controlled by Barbados. In 2008, when the DC came on board, that was gone too. In other words, the DLP took over sheer skin and bones economy. The other part of the economy, neck and shoulders, and all the headquarters, was already owned by non-nationals. And I'm not saying they want to go to the bodyhead. We surrendered it to them. So when you talk about contraction, all these people who came to call the bank, you know the bank laid off a lot of people over time. I mean, you would know that. And they laid off some of the older and more experienced people to send them home, and they brought in a lot of young people that they could pay what they like and do what they like with them. The as far as the private sector is concerned, the 27 companies that were sold by the private sector, some were closed. You can take the Mannings, the Costas, the SP Muscles, the Plantation Limited. You can call the names of all of them. Some were closed. Some were merged and some were staffed. Some were contracted, like Supercenter. They laid off several hundred people from Supercenter. So that is where the contraction has taken place. And that in all light on the political speech, those are facts. So tell the gentleman who came with that.
Let me ask you something. Are you familiar with the discussion about growth in the Barbados economy?
Yep.
Right. Are you familiar with the argument that since 2008, far from growth, there has been significant contraction in the Barbados economy? And it is only in recent years that we've been inching around 1% or thereabouts? Are you familiar with that discussion?
I am fully aware of that.
Right. Do you accept that in that discussion there has been a focus on the contraction of the Barbados economy rather than the growth of the Barbados economy?
Of course.
Agreed. Okay.
Of course.
So let's move on then. We agree on that.
The fact is that
the fact is, the reason is not the contraction. The reason for the contraction is
so the issue, the fundamental issue is whether there has been a contraction in the Barbados economy.
And why?
And you have agreed that there has been.
Yep.
Right.
I agree. But the question is why? And who caused it? The other point I want to look at is something I've heard you with before.
What is that? No.
To the effect that since the parliament has been prorogued, there is no oversight.
Where is it? You tell me where it is.
Well, let me tell you something. When the commissioner of police goes on holiday, don't shut down the police force, see?
Where is the oversight? Where are we getting the information about performance and that sort of thing? Who's talking to us?
The governor says, I'm not going to talk to you next
No,
week.
Between up to now, who has been talking to us about what's been going on?
The central bank report, that's the main thing.
The central bank report has not been released yet?
In another 2 weeks, it will be released also, I think.
But that's the point I'm making to you.
But let me tell you something.
It is supposed to be released in May, or the 7th of May, or something like that.
But let me tell you
something. But in the interim, what?
Let me interim what? Listen, Mr. Ellis. Mm-hmm. Barbados, because Parliament is prorogued, doesn't mean Barbados has gone to sleep. We still have a public service here with executive officers. Then gone to sleep, the Auditor General is still there. The Accountant General is still there doing his work. The Director of Public Prosecution is still there. The Public Service Commission is still in charge of the public service. So don't tell me they're not oversight. And if you want to look outside the public service, you got the Financial Services Commission and you got the Fair Trading Commission.
And what's the line? What kind of timelines are we talking about? The Auditor General's report is issued when?
The Auditor General can issue a report anytime. He can issue a report anytime. Anytime. The private sector find some on their clerks putting their hands in people money, they call the police.
So you are comfortable, as far as you are concerned, you are comfortable with the situation as it is right now?
Well, they're not to be uncomfortable with.
Precisely. Well, you are comfortable, Arthur, but let me say something to you. Mm. Not everybody is comfortable with it.
But let me ask you a question. Germany had an election a couple of months ago, 5 months ago, and ended up with a minority government. They have not had a full sitting of parliament since then. You know why? Because with a minority government, if you go in parliament and pass any bills, you can get outvoted and you got to call no election. So Germany parliament has not sat for 5 months, and I hear they fall apart yet. You understand? Trinidad, some time ago, had a tight legislature, 1818, and they didn't have parliament for 18 months, and the country didn't fall apart because the public...
Listen, once you have... You know what makes this situation more acute?
Mm.
The fact that elections are around the corner. And that politicians just behave a particular way when elections are around the corner, and that our country's economy is in a serious situation. That is what makes some of us uncomfortable. Not you. You love it as it is.
Let me ask you a question. I was just reading a thing here about what makes your economy worse than anybody else. Which island in the Caribbean doesn't have economic problems? Which island in the Caribbean doing better than Barbados? Let me hear which one. Jamaica, Guyana, Trinidad. Which one do I bend your bar? They might have a little
Why are you trying to distract us from the point that has been placed on the table? This discussion is not about who is better than. This discussion is about the fact that we are on the eve of a general election campaign, and we are in a situation where we have this 90-day extension which is being used. And in the circumstances, people are worried, first, about where the economy is in general terms, and two, about the absence of any real oversight over government spending in the period.
Mr. Ellis, that is not true. The government went to Parliament a couple of weeks ago and passed the Bill of Revenue and Expenditure.
Having done so, all the more reason why people are concerned about what will happen in the interim.
No, listen, Mr. There's nothing wrong with what happened in the interim.
Well, how would you know?
That bill covers government expenditure from the first...
I have been around long enough, Arthur, to have people come after the elections and tell you, you know what? The treasury empty. I've been through that in this country already.
Mr. Ellis,
we have had a scenario where in 1991, When the elections were being held, the then Prime Minister told Barbados that the economy was batting like sobers. And immediately after the general elections, it was cut here and cut there. All right? I caused people to march and that sort of thing. So we have been here already. And this situation is not exactly similar to that in the sense that we are now gone, we have gone beyond 5 years and into this 90-day period.
Well, let me give a little piece now. Let me give a little piece.
Sure.
Let me give a little piece. There is no 90-day extension. There's no such thing in the Constitution. It gives 90 days, a certain 90 days to extend the period if they have to. Okay? There's no extension. There's no calling extension. It's a 90-day period. Mr. Arthur, in tour, was it tour 8, came a year early. He came a year early. His election debt was there early. Nobody said he should have gone 5 years because he could have gained 5 years. If you have that elasticity, either in front or behind the debt. So there's nothing unusual except that this government, for some reason, has chosen to carry it beyond the
So that is not unusual. There is nothing unusual except that this government has chosen to. What are you saying? You're speaking through both sides of your mouth.
Did you read Mr. Ezra Allen's article?
Saying what?
Mr. Allen is supporting...
You're going to go down the issue now of being the legality. I tell you, everybody already established that the legality is not the issue here.
So what's the problem then?
Well, you obviously, if you can't hear anything else, I'm sorry for you. I can't repeat that to you again.
Then no problem.
Anyhow.
The estimates of... Just to be one final statement. The estimates of revenue and expenditure that was laid in the House was laid for the 1st of April 2018...
Arthur, let me say something to you. You are comfortable with it. Let us recognize the balance here. You have expressed your view. You are comfortable. I have given you the point of view of people who are not comfortable with it.
I'm not concerned about nobody's point of view.
Well, I understand that because you are not a Democrat. You don't believe in anybody. You only believe in your view and your view alone.
Mr. Ellis, just a couple of weeks ago, the United States, the big United States, had to send one federal off to the federal government. Why? They didn't pass any money to spend for that period. And nobody inquired that the United States didn't fall apart. It's 2 weeks they had without any authority to spend money.
What misrepresentation of the American system situation you want to put to us? It is not correct, Arthur, to say that in those circumstances, there is no concern and people do not express their concern when the American government shuts down. It is not true.
Ms. Ellis,
but you want to say that because that will justify the position you are taking here on Barbados, that we have nothing to worry about.
I am not like you. I just give the facts.
But what you just said is not true.
The estimate was laid in the House.
All right.
It goes from the 1st of April 2018 to the 31st of March 2019.
Okay.
So the public service has authority to spend money in that period, and there is no lack of...
Yeah, but you know something? You have an allocation for a year. What happens if you come and spend more than has been allocated in a shorter period than you should?
Can't be done.
Then you come for a supplementary after. Come on, give me a break.
No supplementary.
You can cut.
How
often, listen, how often have governments, successive governments, been going to parliament for supplementaries? And on what basis can you say they won't be doing it now again?
They will have to be a new government.
All right, sir.
They can't be a
not this one. This one can go for the supplementary, but the next one would have to go for it.
But let me tell you something before you go. Whether you have an election now, had it earlier or no, election don't put money in the treasury, see? Election doesn't put money. The same treasury that you got before election is got after election. And those who take it after election is got you the same problems.
So all right. We got people cussing back here on the chat.
I can cuss just like that.
No. I wouldn't want you to get down to their level, Alpha Man.
I believe in facts and figures. I don't believe in sentiment and feelings. I might not my own personal feelings, but I keep that to myself. I give you the facts and the figures. Right. So anybody can take the issue in radio online.
The only challenging period, look, we've been through periods like this before. And one of the realities is that governments, administrations that are coming to the polls can sometimes go and do things that satisfy their political interests. And we only know about them after the fact. The reason why there would be a greater degree of concern about this period is because of where the country is financially. And I think we all have been taught where we are, we understand where Barbados is, and that will usher in a greater degree of concern. All I know, the sense that I'm getting is that businesses have adopted a wait-and-see attitude. They're not prepared to be investing in any significant way at this point in time because elections are around the corner. And while the grass is growing, the horse is starving, and then it's exacerbated by politicians doing what politicians do. They tell you, listen, that's politics, you know. I ain't care now, but right now we have an election to win, and this is what we are going to do. That is the natural psyche of politicians, and that's what you're dealing with. All right, we got to go. Down to brass tacks, hello.
Oh, good afternoon, Ms. Harris.
Hi, how are you?
Not as well as you. There's two things I want to discuss here.
Sure.
First, I'm going to start home at you. You can find out from the Barbados Lovelies where to take the numbers out of the newspaper and got on CBC TV. I just buy paper every day, and I more prefer to see the lotto numbers in the paper than to watch on TV. But looking to me, the lotto are no partisan. Yeah, CBC, some of the money, taking away some from the nation. You could, that outside the office, you can leave that there. Because you know you're going to replace.
Well, I don't have a clue. I know that they stopped carrying some of the information that they did before, and it was suggested that people had to go online. I didn't realize that they were still carrying it on television. I thought
it's still on television?
I thought it was all online.
As a woman, we don't know no book going online. I ain't got no cell phone, I ain't got no computer, no sources. So we're going to go and let the agents at the books know if the literature has ever been any. Now, listen, Kev, you know the road that the minivans take to come into Waterford? The Bashaw minivans?
Yes, they take a left turn.
Right, they got to
off Station Hill.
They got two craters there, Mr. Ellis, that the vans, some of the vans now using another road, and I believe they might get report for using that road. You can imagine that this constituency concerns Steve Blackett, and this is his hometown, and this area is his hometown.
He's Minister of Social Care, not Minister of Roads and Potholes.
The same ministers as health ministers. Bashaw got the worst roads in Barbados, in this area that we're in, and this is where he come from. Them things could be fair to me. Yeah. Well, I would like them to go around canvassing that water, drop in the hole, and break off one.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. You don't need to go there.
But anytime you get a chance, pass and just look at the expensive vehicle you know that you drive in, you're going to walk out through that hole.
You got that right.
Well, this is ridiculous.
Got that right. Because the more expensive the vehicle, the more expensive it will be to repair it.
you're laughing now, but anytime you get a chance.
Listen, but there are so many roads in Barbados like that. I mean, you know, it's not peculiar to that neighborhood.
But no, what I'm saying.
The issue here is that the resources that Barbados has had available to it. In the way that things have gone in Barbados, things that would ordinarily have been looked after or should have been looked after have had to go a begging. And the road network is a fine example of it. You know, the sewage project is another. Our bridges and challenges in those areas, you know. Dark hole the other day fell away. And you don't know where else. Others are buckling. The transport system, there are people living in Barbados who have real trouble trying to get home, especially in the evening. It is not as bad in the morning, but in the evening to get home, people spend a considerable amount of time waiting. So, you know, these are all a symptom of the economic contraction that you heard one of the callers speaking about earlier. If the country's economy was growing in the way that it should, then you would have less of a problem in these areas. Then you get into the discussion then about whose fault is it? You know, does the government take any blame, or is it all about the Barbados Labour Party and how they spent money before the Dems came to office? Is it a structural defect? And if it's a structural defect, what is it that you're hearing from the different people who are in positions of responsibility that gives you a sense of direction that we will be able to come out of it? Or are we going to have just excuses made all the time about it? That's where you are with it. Because I do accept that part of it is structural. Huh? I don't think you can run away from that. Part of the problem, a major part of it, is structural. And if you go back to what was said by people like Mr. Arthur before he left office, you will see that, hey, the Barbados economy was running in a direction that it required a certain careful degree of planning and leadership and motivating and mobilizing people to achieve critical objectives. Question is, what has happened there? Have we had it or have we failed to get it?
Ms. Ellis?
Yes.
Before I go, I can give you something that we can say that I know you might not like it.
Mm-hmm.
I called you to tell you about the two holes that Gumbracket people have asked.
Yeah.
And you gave me a whole lecture. I know who you voted for. I know you voted for the Beast. I know for sure you voted Beast. Because I let you give me. I didn't deal with that.
Mm.
I didn't deal with the two holes they want fixed.
Well, you know, let me tell you something.
Huh?
When I vote, I can vote according to my conscience and what I believe, and that is my business. But you know what?
Mm.
When I sit down here with you, I should give you the opportunity to speak for the BLP, the DLP, or whoever else, while at the same time giving other people the chance to counter you or taking the opportunity to counter you myself.
Okay,
so
well,
that's what I do.
Thanks, nobody. Thanks.
Well, you see, you know, the truth of the matter is that this kind of project is not useful by just going down any one side. It is a waste of time if you just go down one side. So you can interpret it as you see fit. I told you that they got potholes all over the place, and everybody in Barbados is able to see that. That's a statement of fact, and there's no need to run away from that. Down to brass tacks. You on the air? Hello? 133 in Barbados today. Hello?
Yeah, Mr. Ellis,
Hi.
I noticed that on these call-in programs, we talk a lot about things that occur at election time. And we do so every time there's an election in the air. For example, we talk and we complain about people getting jobs at this time by the government. We talk about people with the hole. You all had that discussion this morning and reading the side of the road and the things like that. But I am wondering if that is a useful discussion, because that has been going on for eons, and I don't think that even changing a political party would cause any change to that. So I am wondering if it is really worth discussing. Do you think so?
You heard me discussing it?
It was on your program this morning.
Now you heard me part of the discussion, right?
I can't remember if you were part, but
you really believe that I entertain things that I don't believe are worth talking about?
Right.
You have a view that it can't change, it means that Barbadians should not be pushing for change?
But I don't think when it is, I'm hearing anybody pushing for any change, because the same people, they've said it before whenever one government is in power, then they go silent after they probably get in. So I don't think they're pushing for change. They're pushing for a change of the government, but not for pushing.
No, there are a lot of people who are tired of this system. Where you, they are upset to hear people like you come and say, you know what? You must accept this. This can't change. We must accept that for all that has changed in the world around us, that politicians should come and believe that they can make fools of us in this way.
But that's what I'm saying, Mr. Ellis. You're saying that every time. You're going to say it next time. But the change then would be to look at the third parties, because those are the only people.
No, I don't believe in that. Those third parties do not fool me, because some of them will come and do the same thing.
You feel so? You
yes.
haven't tried them, so you don't know.
Yes, because you know what?
You can't conclude that?
I conclude that as long as they put on political hats, they behave like politicians. And that's why there are other institutions in the country that need to be heard on these matters so that and are involved in trying to sensitize and educate people on the way that people manipulate the system to their advantage.
But you are contradicting yourself just now.
How so?
Mr. Ellis, you just said earlier that the change must occur. And then you're saying that these people can't change. They're going to be the same thing. So I don't know what you're really saying.
I am saying that there is a need to raise consciousness and that you should not sit down like you are saying and let it go by because in your judgment it cannot change. It can be changed only by educating people and informing people and raising consciousness.
Yes, I agree, but not just at election time. For example, when election
This has only come up at election time for your convenience. You have decided that you're going to locate it exclusively in election period. That is not so. That comes up all the time.
You mean during the term, you would say that people are talking about people just getting...
Yeah, people talk about the system. People talk about how the system is used and how it is abused and how taxpayers' money, not the money of the politicians, you know.
Right.
It is the taxpayers' money. Because even if a politician has used money that has been given to him by a business person... To use it in that way,
right?
You still have to ask the question: how has the taxpayer suffered?
But that's what I see, right? From both parties' point of view, if the D's get it next time, the D's gonna complain about it, and the B's gonna go silent. It's just a backward, forward thing. So, over 30 years since the election, I didn't really see it changing easily, unless, as I say, a third party, because they are saying, listen, give us a chance, we can change things. But you say you don't believe in them anyhow.
Oh, I don't believe them. I believe that politicians tend to behave the same way, and it is pressure from the electorate. It is from the people that they derive their power, and it is from the people that the pressure must come.
Okay. Now, look, Marvin has brought a situation this morning where he was talking about the people suddenly at election time coming offering people letters to sign and things like that. And talking, he might be the one talking to about people reading side of the road and unfairness. I remember in the early days, in the early 2000s, when Maskell was running against, I think Maskell was actually in office at the time. I think he had won his seat, and Mark was, or vice versa. But when he built these kiosks, right? I think he was head of the opposition at the time, the leader of the opposition, and he built all these kiosks in the Mark Williams constituency. And they brought the police, maybe the defense force and so, to break down, to watch these things being broken down and mash up. Now, the reason why they say they were moving these kiosks was because there was illegal structures. They put them up there illegally. So then people focus on the illegal structures that were put onto the housing units for the people that have voted for Mark Williams. And Mark said, no, no, no. All the time, Mark was saying, push down these structures by Maskell because they're illegal. But when it came to pushing down the ones on the house, he said, no, 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 these are my people. Though I agree they're illegal, but leave them there. And it's that kind of unfair politics, Mr. Ellis, that I think those are party systems that needs changing, right? And that's why I'm saying Mark Ellis is coming out at this time. To make somebody believe he's a savior and he's a man for the small people.
I told the man already that he's a politician. Yeah. And therefore, having had that kind of background, I think many of us know how to take the comments which have been made.
Some people take him seriously, though, Mr.
No, but so, you know full well that in the discussion that we had earlier, that was fully acknowledged. So,
right. One other thing, though. I heard Mr. Bino, too, commenting about the 90-day period and a lot of people complaining about the 90-day period.
You are hearing other people complain?
I hear people complain about it, yeah.
Not on Brass Tacks alone, though.
Yeah, yes. Oh, well, I don't listen to people too much on the outside. I'm a busy man. So, I'm saying that...
You got time for Brass Tacks.
When I work, I turn on the radio sometimes.
Okay.
But here, no, the people in Barbados are saying, when everybody... The government did nothing over the 5 years. They were doing nothing all the time. So I don't see if a government was doing nothing, why 90 days could make a big difference. And Bino was saying that what he has observed, and I guess he's referring to his supermarket, is that the customers are not there to the extent that they were before. They're lessened down. But Mr. Bino should probably realize that the people ain't leaving the supermarket because of the 90-day period or because of the recession. People really leave the supermarket because they got popular and they're going to their prices that are more reasonable. If he would resort to more reasonable prices, he would lose the customers.
Yeah, but you can't say that with any degree of conviction because you have done no survey among shoppers. Some would have done it for that reason, and others would have done it for the reason that he has given. You can't come and state conclusively that he is wrong.
Yeah. I can tell you to some extent.
Because you could say it, but it don't necessarily mean that we can believe you.
Well, okay, but this is what I believe, that I know that I was one of his customers, and I have moved to Popular. I was his customer, not necessarily because of it, but his place.
But if that's the case, that means that whatever you save in terms of what you purchased from him, you must pay in gas going to Popular.
No, Popular closer to me than him.
So how come you're going to Popular? You're going to him first?
But my work, they had a Popular before.
What do you mean?
No, they had a Popular located close to me.
You mean the one that is down there, so in Christchurch
now? In Candle Hill. Yeah, that's closer to me, right?
So you used to leave where you live down there, so in Candle Hill or Briar Hall or wherever it is.
Right.
And you would go all up in Six
Emerald
Roads?
Emerald City. Yes. I used to go to Emerald City because it was convenient too, and my work.
So your issue is a convenience issue, not a cost issue. You see what you're saying now?
No. Listen to me carefully. My workplace is next to Bino's place, which is Emerald City.
Yeah.
But I live close to Popular. So I could continue to work with Emerald City. But Popular is far more cheaper. Anybody will tell you that Popular is cheaper. Popular, you know, people might be complaining about the supermarket. But Popular is full from morning till night, you know, all day long, all 7 days. The prices are really...
It don't be enough full in the morning till night, all 7 days. That is not
really?
True. That ain't true.
You don't live up there, you don't know?
Listen to me.
You don't know?
Don't think that I'm a fool. I go a lot of places both here. And I could tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, going to Popular on a weekend, you can't get inside there. Irrespective of which one you go to. But go Tuesday morning or go Wednesday. All right? And it is not full. And it is not full every hour of the day. That is not true. You're misrepresenting that.
Mr. Ellis, you can't prove that. But it might...
I can prove it because I know one thing. A lot of the time that you say it got people, you should be at work. So you can't come to me.
I go on
to one. All right. Down to brass tacks.
Mr. Ellis?
Oh, my goodness. You know, people tell me that you sound so contrived. They can't believe that this is a real voice that you're putting on here, you know. But talk to me.
But you must mind the contriving of how contrived the voice sounds.
Let me hear.
Go over the content.
Let me hear the content.
I'm trying to assert some of the alarmist things you're putting abroad, trying to frighten Barbadians.
Like what?
This thing about oversight. What oversight you're talking about? Listen to me carefully. When the government goes to Parliament and pass the estimates for any one financial year, and they allocate the amounts to the different ministries, what oversight the Parliament has after those allocations are made?
There's no parliamentary oversight at all.
Absolutely none. Absolutely none. Oversight only comes, as a matter of fact, Parliament only comes back into play if you go back to Parliament for a supplementary later on down in the financial year. But
yeah.
There's no oversight. Let me tell you something further.
In the system of governance that we have, what is the normal oversight in that period?
The PS, the Permanent Secretary. You know that.
Is that the only... No. The PS don't talk to the public. You know who talks to the public normally?
Uh-huh.
The politician who has ultimate responsibility. And
what's
if...
And
let me take your point. You are valid when you say that Parliament is not necessarily actively involved at that stage. But you know what? The communication with the public about what is being done and why it is being done is where the oversight lies.
But what are you saying?
The only reason why you will tell me that nothing has changed really in Barbados is if you're going to argue that the kind of oversight that people would normally expect does not really exist in Barbados, and therefore we should be comfortable with that in this 90-day period.
Let me tell you, the oversight of the government's finances and spending is done by the permanent secretary. A minister cannot spend a cent.
No, but
not a cent.
You know, this is about something called accountability to the public, you know. And this is part of what is so frustrating for many people in this country.
Who do you think the permanent secretary is working for? The public.
But the permanent secretaries do not report to the public.
But what
our system does not. Because you see, for you, the notion of reporting to the public is outrageous, because you have grown accustomed to an environment where it does not happen anymore. I'm saying to you that in this 90-day period, it becomes even more important for there to be some greater accountability to the public about, for instance, why are we seeing, under what circumstances are we seeing the appearance of all of these people out there with hose in their hands? And what are the potential implications of all of this for government spending? Let me make the point, and then you can talk. I can give you a chance to talk. I can give you the chance, honestly. The critical thing here is that you will appreciate, I believe, that in this environment, you are going to have a greater degree of suspicion about how government's money is being spent. In those circumstances, therefore, isn't it logical for people to expect that government officials, in particular the politicians, the political masters, would be putting themselves in a position to account to the people in a more serious way? What do you think?
Government went to Parliament in February, I believe it was, and passed the estimates. You're talking specifically about the debushing program. You're not? Are you not?
I'm not speaking about that alone, but I'm saying to you that that's an obvious, what we are seeing here is an obvious scenario where just before elections, anyhow, proceed.
Let me speak about that.
Mm-hmm.
When the government passed the estimates, this program, under whichever ministry it is located, there is a line item in the estimates that were approved by Parliament for the debushing program. So it is accounted for. It is not any willy-nilly spending on the part of the government because Parliament is not Parliament is not meeting. That would have already been approved during the estimates, the line item to cover the spending for the debushing program. So it is already accounted for. And the watchdog in the ministries is the permanent secretary. You don't want to take into account her role or his role. The permanent secretary, the ministers can't spend a cent. Cannot. So you don't have to throw the poor public into a state of panic that there's some willy-nilly spending and there's no control.
Listen to me.
No oversight.
You listen to me. You know, when this election is finished, come back to me. We can compare some notes. After this election is over, you will either be right or I will be wrong.
That is a lot of stuff.
I hear you. As I told you, I've been around long enough. Don't tell me it is alarmist, but you and I will see. You and I will see, okay? Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Mr. Ellis.
Hi.
Hello, yes. I was here holding on for a long time. I want to talk about garbage. I want to talk garbage.
don't put it that way, man.
We have a problem out here in Hoyt's area, that we didn't see a garbage truck for 5 weeks. Then when the garbage truck turned up last week, Monday, there was so much garbage. That's what the government needs to be dealing with. That's why you need a government in power. Somebody there to deal with these matters. All through St. James, piles and piles and piles of garbage. And they came over by us, take out the one in the back and the one in the front still here. So it's about 6 weeks now. And you understand this is the time where when they come into the hot season, it's a tropical climate. There's an increasing number of flies. There are the dogs pulling out the garbage. There are the rats coming around and pulling out the garbage. And we're facing a serious problem in Barbados. And these people who are supposed to be the shadow ministers or so seem to be making sport at the people of Barbados. I call the people responsible for the refuse collection. And they told me they have no trucks. I mean, the same money that they're spending to buy votes at this time could have gone to buy some trucks. Could you afford a car for $400,000, Mr. Ellis?
For what, $4,000?
$400,000. That's about $40,000. $350,000. Could you afford a car?
That's tax-free?
I don't know. But you know how many trucks that we could have bought with that money to get the garbage moved in Barbados? Man, this thing is really overbearing. And from Monday down to today, Friday, the garbage is still here piling up in this area. Still piling up. So when they come next time and they clear the front, by the time they get to the back, this garbage is going to be here again. We had a weekly garbage collection in this area. Now it's every 5 and every 6 weeks. And I heard some time ago when they had the holes in the road, they voted for some $15 or $16 million. I didn't see where the money went because the hole's still in the road. Then they come and they vote more money again. Then they vote for the cleaning up of the trees and things on people's property. And I didn't see where the money gone. We have no buses. We have no trucks, no refuse collected trucks. And we have no government. And people coming in and making you believe that everything is well in Barbados. I am saying that Barbadians need to stand up, stop being so docile, and make a statement of what's happening in this country. And I heard you this morning. I finished talking garbage. I want to say a thing about education.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the law, you hear people come on your program and say, they're not a lawyer. When it comes to other things, they're not this, they're not. When it comes to education, they have some experts that come on your program and speak like this. They know something about the school system. They know nothing about the school system. A lot of the problems that children have in school these days is what they're eating. A lot of these things have been dyes and different things that get the children restless. And people call them behavior deficit disorder. They cannot behave because it's what they're eating most of the time. On mornings before they eat the normal fish cakes and bakes or whatever, they're eating Concords. The first thing that you see the children eating is a lot of Concords. One morning, a little child vomited. I asked you, did you have breakfast this morning? You tell me no. And what he vomited was all Concords because they have something in it that's affecting the children. When you look at the IQ of people in Barbados, you have geniuses, you have people above average, you have average people, you have people below average, you have people further down that you could call a moron, right down there, that below 40, but an average person is 80 and above, a very bright person is 120 and above. A genius is 140 and above. So the child at the bottom of the IQ scale, that child needs special education. And the child at the top is also being unfair because the school system also cannot adjust to him. That boy is so bright. And that's why I agree when the government allowed them, those children that are so bright, to take the exam at 9 years instead of calling back a genius till he's 11. There are some children who can take that exam at 9, some who can take it at 10, some who can take it at 11, some who can take it at 12. depending on the ability. You put them in the screens in the school, 1A, 1B, 1C, 1E, 1D. You know, when it comes to the examination, and we teach towards 11 plus examination. We don't teach the children. We teach towards 11 plus examination. You know, when it comes to 11 plus examination, the child who is in, he become a child in 4D then, because it goes through the streams, right? There are 5 streams in some schools, especially a big school like Wesley Hall. 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D, 1E. So five different class fours. By the time you get to class, four to the school, to the 11 plus exam, that child is in 4D. So the 1B, the 1A guy, he's going to be in 4A. The 2B, the 1B child is going to be in 4B. You know, right down the stream. So they got the same exam. And when you give them the paper to carry home to their parents, and ask the parents the outline, put down on that paper about 8 schools that you want to choose. You know what the children at the bottom of the stream put down? Do you know?
No.
The first school that they put down.
The one at
Harrison College.
Harrison College.
Do you advise them to put down some of the older secondary schools and schools therefore in line with their ability? The parents said no. Harrison College, and that is why Harrison College is always at the top. If those same parents would have chosen St. Lucie's, St. Lucie's would be at the top.
I would prefer, honestly, I think that, as I said from the very beginning, this country has a disproportionate focus on 11 plus.
Correct.
Disproportionate and dangerously so. As a result, a whole set of other people are falling through the cracks, and Barbados is not paying enough attention to it. It is contributing to a lot of the challenges we have in this wider society. It's about time that we really put more of a focus on the wider issues in Barbados's education system. We are going nowhere with this continued focus on the 11 plus as it is currently structured, and believing that there's nothing else that we need to fix in the system. Anyhow, you can come back. You seem to have quite a lot of knowledge and stuff, so I'm sure you're going to be back, and I hope you are back to take this discussion further, especially as it relates to the other issues. And I want to thank Ronnie Clark and Daddy Biggs for assisting me today in this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm David Ellis. Do have a great afternoon.